Because I know someone's going to ask me later. It's Good Shepherd Sunday, and so we're singing 23rd Psalm. And in the fifth verse, this hymn is basically a paraphrase of the psalm, right? So it says, "Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thy unction grace bestow." But let's pray together. Holy and almighty God, our Good Shepherd, by the leading of your Spirit, we pray this day that you would help us to listen for your voice and follow in your paths all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our salvation, we pray. Amen. So our Old Testament lesson through these seasons of Easter defaults to a portion from Acts. So today it's Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, and it's on page 773 in your Bibles, and it's here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. So Peter and John, in the early days of the church, had been healing people in Jerusalem. And so this text picks up where they had been healing people, and then they were summoned to meet with the leaders of the Jewish faith. So the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" meaning heal a lame man. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to humankind by which we must be saved." Here ends the lesson from the Acts. The lesson from the Gospel these Sundays of Easter is coming from the Gospel of John. So today it's a portion from John chapter 10. It's verses 11 through 18. It's page 759. And here, Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Here ends the lesson from the Gospel. And in these Sundays of Easter, we're reading from the first letter of John to the scattered church. So today we're in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. And that's page 863 and here. And John wrote to the church, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And here ends the lesson from 1 John. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's still Easter. Easter was April 1st. Today's the 22nd. But every year we celebrate Easter for 8 weeks. We're still singing Easter hymns. We took down the Tower of Lilies. Some of them have found a forever home. Some of them we put out there. There's one lone one left, but the lilies are fading, I think, and those flowers are fading too, but it's still Easter until the Sunday of Pentecost, which is May 20th. And during these weeks of Easter, we've been talking about what makes a Christian given the light of the risen Christ. We talked a couple weeks ago about the ordinary, the old time order of coming to belong to Christian community. We said that the way that order worked, what made a person a Christian, was to come to belief and either to make a statement of belief using the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or a statement of faith, then to learn the expected rules of the community, the expected behavior, and then to know that we belong to the community. So a couple weeks ago, I said, I want to talk about a different way of understanding what it is to follow Christ. A way of understanding that first, we belong to the community. Then we learn how to behave. We learn what the community's expected rules are. And then we come to believe. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Thomas, doubting Thomas, about how he refused to believe that Jesus was risen until he, too, saw Jesus just like the other disciples. Thomas needed to be included. He needed to know that he was part of the community. He needed to know he belonged before he was able to believe. Last week, I know that Laura preached to you about Jesus and the disciples on the Emmaus Road and how Jesus invited himself into their home to eat with them. And that their faith was derived with their identity in community and living in grace. So today we're going to talk about what makes a Christian means how we follow the shepherd. So often we say, rightly, that it doesn't matter what we do. God's grace is covering us and God's grace supersedes everything that we can do. It doesn't matter what we do. But today I'm saying, well, that's not the whole truth. What we do does matter. The fourth Sunday of Easter, which is today, is always Good Shepherd Sunday. We always read the 23rd Psalm. Did you hear? Matthew read it. The choir sang it. Or maybe the choir sang it first, and then Matthew read it, and then we sang it too, right? We sang a paraphrase of Good Shepherd. Always some portion of the 10th chapter of John. So today it's the middle verses 11 through 18, but every year a portion of the middle verses of John 10, which is Jesus' own description of what a shepherd is and does. So every year we read some verses from John 10, and we sing songs about the shepherd, a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. Because God is the shepherd of his people. And so today we talk about if we follow God, if we follow in the way of Jesus Christ, we are made in God's image. And that means that we are shepherds too. So Jesus told the disciples the characteristic of what it is to be a good shepherd. Here's an ancient icon. In Greek, it says the shepherd on your left, I think, hoi poimen, right? And on the right, it says hakalos, which is the good one. So it says the shepherd, the good one. And Jesus explained to the disciples the characteristic of the shepherd. The very first, the primary characteristic of what it means to say that Jesus is our shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. And those seven verses that was repeated over and over, right? I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The test of the good shepherd and the kings of Israel, that was a primary image of the kings of Israel, was as a shepherd. The primary test of the shepherd is that he gives his life for the sheep. The second major characteristic of the shepherd is that he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. So years ago, I read about a British scholar who went on a study trip to Palestine. I think it was in the late 1800s. And he was able to witness a marvelous thing. I know I've told you about it, where there was a big pasture and it was filled with hundreds of sheep, and they were all milling around and making their sheep noises, and they all looked exactly alike to this British scholar who was traveling in the Levant, which was how they, what they called Palestine in the 1800s. But there were several shepherds scattered around the perimeter of the pasture. And what the British scholar witnessed was a marvelous thing. He said each shepherd began to call out to the sheep. And in a very miraculous way, each sheep who had been appeared to be very distressed because they were all just kind of milling around and didn't know where they were or what they were doing. Each shepherd heard, each sheep heard his or own shepherd's voice, lifted their head, and began to thread his sheeply way through the flock until each shepherd had his own flock of sheep around him. Because the shepherd, the sheep recognized the shepherd's voice above all others. So, primary characteristic, the test of the good shepherd, is that he gives his life for the sheep. And the sheep listen for the shepherd's voice. That's what sheep do, is hear the shepherd's voice. Sheep can't sort themselves out without the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus tells us in these seven verses from John 10 that it's not just this particular flock. That Jesus' joy, Jesus' job is to not only call the ones from this flock, but out to all the world. Because he says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock, and they hear my voice too. So, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he has a voice that reaches beyond just your own pasture into all the world and calls his sheep out of all the world. And so the way that we follow the shepherd, the way that we are members of the body of Christ, the way that we belong is by showing with our lives that we are following too. So John's letter to the church was written very late in the first century, probably 90 AD. Okay, so Acts was written very early, but John was writing very late in the first century to people who had been following Jesus for decades, and many of them were experiencing persecution because of their commitment to the way of Christ. And in this passage for today, it sounds like John 3:16, right? What's John 3:16? God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? So here in 1 John 3:16, it's almost a paraphrase. Listen. It says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." So it's the second repetition of John 3:16. This is how we know what love looks like, John wrote to the church. Jesus gave his life for us. We just read about that, talked about it from John 10. And so we give our lives for others. In the early church, that was often literally true. Men and women and boys and girls died in horrific ways because they followed Jesus, because they claimed the name of Jesus Christ. That little verse from Acts is just a time in very early life of the church. Peter and John, the disciples, were still in Jerusalem, but they were following in Jesus' steps and healing in the name of Jesus. And the religious authorities summoned them and wanted to know, whose power, in what name do you do this? And Peter was very explicit. This is the name. This is the power. This is how I can do this. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who brings salvation to all the world. In the Hebrew sense, salvation, we tend to think of salvation as something that happens in the future, right? We'll get eternal life in the future, and that's our salvation. The Hebrew thought is, yes, it's in the future, but more, it's right here, right now. This is salvation. To experience healing and wholeness, God shalom, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way we're going to experience it. Peter doesn't pull any punches, right? He says, There's only one name in which humankind shall be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. So John, probably 30 years at least, 50, 60 years after Peter was talking to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, says to the church, capital C church, right, the church down through the ages, our words and our speech, our words and our speech are not enough. It's our actions and our truth that tell the story. It's the way we live our lives. There's two words in the Greek in those two verses in 1 John 3:16 and 17. One says life, like we're alive. Okay, we're living on this earth. The other one says livelihood, the way we make our living. It's how we live our lives. It's how we use our livelihood that tells the story of our faith. So today, saying nothing is saying everything. Because it's clear from Scripture that our love is known in action. Our love comes from our relationship with God the Good Shepherd. It's the daily loving actions of the community of faith for each other, for the wider community, and for the world. It's those actions as we follow the Good Shepherd that show that we belong to the community. Good in this instance, when I showed you that picture of the shepherd, the good one, right? It's not so much good as the opposite of bad, right? It's good as the model, the type, the standard for shepherding. So Jesus is the Good Shepherd. When he says, I am the Good Shepherd, he means I am the best example of what shepherding looks like. Right? And when Jesus says, I am, there's seven statements in John's gospel where Jesus says, I am, right? We need to think of Moses getting the word from God to go rescue God's people who are in slavery in Egypt. And when Moses is at that burning bush and he says, well, I'll go, but who shall I tell Pharaoh is sending me, right? Who shall I say is sending me? God gives Moses God's name, I am, right? That's Yahweh. That's a literal translation of I am. So here, it's not an accident that over and over in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who shows all the other shepherds how to be a shepherd. It's our actions that show that we belong, that show that we're following the shepherd. So we have this wonderful image of the one shepherd tending the one flock. And those images are crystallized in Psalm 23. So we shall not be in want. And we shall have rest. And our fears as we walk through those deep valleys shall be calmed. And our hunger shall be met when we feast at the Lord's table. And surely God's mercy, God's love, God's chesed, steadfast loving kindness will follow us all the days of our life, because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And no one will be lost. No, not one. There's a wonderful old gospel hymn. We're not going to sing it, but Mike's going to play it, and I'll share the words with you. It's called, God Leads Us Along. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire, away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Because the thing about sheep is that they can't follow if they don't have a shepherd. I read somewhere this week, and I'll just have to take it for gospel because I know nothing about sheep or cows, but apparently you can push cows, okay? But you can't push sheep. Sheep won't go unless there's someone in front of them who's been there before. In the earliest days of the church, there was great persecution, and there are some catacombs in Rome. If you've ever been able to go to Rome and go down into the catacombs, you'll see the ancient places where God's children gathered and worshiped and lived and ate and slept as they were hiding from the Romans. And although the cross has become a symbol of Christianity, any Christian church you go to, whether it's Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox, there's a cross, right? In Catholic churches, there's a crucifix on the cross. Most Protestant churches have a plain cross. We have a crown of thorns and a white drape because it's still Easter. And so that's become a universal symbol of the Christian faith. But one of the really cool things about those catacombs is that this is in the first decades. This is a painting from one of the catacombs in Rome, and it's from the earliest decades of our faith. And the cross is not there, but Christ, the Good Shepherd, is. Bishop Irenaeus of Lyon, who pastored God's people, he was born in North Africa in like 130 AD, I think, when North Africa was a center of Christian faith. He ended up in Lyon in southern France with the Gallic peoples, teaching and preaching the gospel. And his teacher was Polycarp, who was martyred and knew the Apostle Paul. So Irenaeus of Lyon isn't very far away from Jesus Christ. He wrote this about Jesus in probably like 200 AD. He, Jesus, became what we are so that we might become what he is. Brothers and sisters, your call today is clear. You're all called to be shepherds, to follow and to lead for all of God's world, showing God's love in action, in words and deeds. Alleluia. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for Jesus, our good shepherd. We thank you that you call us to follow him where he leads us, out to the world that you love. We pray that you will give us the grace and strength to follow in his way. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, we pray. Amen.